At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Every time you retrieve a memory, that act of retrieval corrupts the memory a little bit. Emily St. John Mandel. Welcome to Grimly.
Planets are planeting.
It's true.
As you say. They're popping off.
Have you seen any major movies this week?
I did watch Project Hail Mary.
Oh.
I read the book too.
Oh.
The book was better.
Oh, really?
They usually are.
That's when you listen to the audiobook?
Yeah.
Okay.
But everyone was like, oh, the movie's so good. Like,
I heard it was very good,
it
too.
It is very good.
Okay.
And I was like, but also...
Most probably people probably haven't read the book.
Maybe. There was just so much in the book that was not in the movie.
Got it.
That was like kind of my favorite parts. I was like, oh.
I'm sorry.
And they made like this weird love story between two characters that didn't really have that in the book. And I was like, why?
For what?
We didn't need that.
Mm.
That was kind of.
Mm. I did not think we were going to talk about Project Hail Mary when I asked you that question.
I mean, what else would I? I mean.
The Odyssey.
I have not watched The Odyssey yet.
Me neither.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
I think so.
I think people are really liking it.
People are liking it.
I definitely remember the 50s stop motion version
me too.
Of it.
Me
I think, too. Did we all watch that as kids?
We might have just watched it in school or something.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe that was part of it.
Because why else would we both have seen
it? I definitely feel like I kind of watched it at home.
I mean, and with the Cyclops and the eye thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good story
A good story about a fuckboy.
Long-term fuckboy.
Long-term.
The longest-term fuckboy. 20 years? My God.
Love children. Secret children, really.
God, I don't remember now.
Yeah.
We'll have to go watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still haven't watched any of the big horror movies yet. Did you watch Undertone?
No.
That was the one I did watch.
The one I saw was...
Obsession, right?
I saw Obsession, yeah.
In
you haven't seen Obsession?
Mm-mm.
Damn. Okay, you really are.
I've seen the platform to watch it on.
Oh, it's not out on.
It probably is. I just don't know where to watch it. And if it's not popping up, I'm like, whatever.
Mm.
I'll eventually will.
Yeah, it's got to be streaming. No, I saw the one about Backrooms.
Backrooms. I need to watch that.
That is, it's just odd. That's all I can say.
It's a funky,
strange movie.
Funky,
but I liked it. Movie. I did like it. Okay, that's Movie Corner.
That's Movie Corner.
Welcome to Grimly.
Hi. Welcome to Grimly. I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And we are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy shit. But we were serious about our quality of episode from last week. So we're doing a redo.
Okay,
of
right.
Previous episode.
That's true. That's like, true. And
I was just editing it. I was like, God, I'm like, this just like needed to be a two-parter for sure. Because it was 2 hours long.
Mm.
I was like, no one wants to sit here and listen to us yap about something for 2 hours. I don't want to do it. And I'm here doing it. And this is my story.
All right. So it's a redo. And you might be surprised to know, I don't remember what it is.
Oh, no. I was honestly grateful for that. I'm like typing stuff in. I'm like, God, I'm like, I wonder if she's gonna remember this.
She
like,
won't.
She's fucking not. She might. I don't know. But like, it doesn't
it
really
will come
matter.
To me
in pieces. Yes. Podcast amnesia is strong with Meg.
Yes.
No, but I'm a little bummed because we don't get to talk about our hot dog debate. our condiment hot dog debate.
Oh, is that what we talked about last time?
Yeah, because I gave you shit because you brought fucking sauerkraut and brown mustard for hot dog toppings and no ketchup.
It was the lack of ketchup. I think the other two things are perfectly appropriate
for a hot dog. I think they're perfectly appropriate. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you gotta include ketchup. I'm sorry I didn't have ketchup.
I don't particularly care for ketchup all that much.
If you're bringing hot dogs
to a barbecue. I would say that I don't need it.
I would argue that it is
I don't need it on a french fry. I don't. If anything, sure, a hot dog is the most appropriate place.
Yeah.
If there is just hot dog, like the ferry, for example. Mm-hmm. Did I talk about the ferry last time? I'm sorry, you but like did, it's actually. The place I usually am having a hot dog.
Yeah.
It's just a yellow mustard and ketchup. Mm-hmm. And in that scenario, I will just do ketchup. I won't do any mustard because I think yellow mustard's
no,
gross.
No. You definitely need mustard as well. You don't like only yellow like mustard?
Spicy brown mustard.
No
I like
other
a
mustard.
Lot of different types of mustard, but I don't like yellow mustard.
You don't fuck with yellow mustard.
Yellow mustard and mayonnaise can both fuck off.
No, for me. Mayonnaise can fuck off. Mustard.
It's probably slightly better, but it is so gross smelling. It smells so gross.
It smells like mustard.
No, it doesn't smell like real mustard.
It smells like mustard.
You know what? Listen.
Now we're having a mustard debate.
I will be honest with you that I could, as the proper adult that I am right now, mm-hmm. I could give a little taste, one finger's full, just a little drop.
That is what she said. Like, good
for
her.
I could taste the mustard, yellow mustard. I would try it.
I'm like a corn dog. You need to try that corn dog.
I don't want to
ruin... You need to take a bite with a corn dog.
Okay, fine. I'll try it. You know what? A corn dog can make a lot of things
the
better.
The corn dog can't get it.
It's like, you know what? Yeah, you could put a lot of things on a corn dog.
You can. I mean, because we are mustard people. I'm not a ketchup particular person. I put like ketchup on eggs. I think that's fucking weird.
Oh, you mean like scrambled eggs?
Yes.
Oh, I don't really want a scrambled egg anyway.
I usually don't want a scrambled egg either. Ugh. But I've seen people do that on like
gross
on eggs,
food corner.
On hash browns. Which I guess kind of makes more sense because
ketchup on hash browns?
Yes.
I don't want that either.
Tabasco.
Sure.
Tabasco hash browns is the only appropriate topping. Sure. Maybe cheese. Also cheese.
I don't think I need that. I just like salt.
I just want an extra crispy hash brown with some Tabasco.
I'm with you on that. I'm sorry.
You say you're with me, but you gave me shit that one time I ordered at a diner.
I apologize.
In fact, the entire table judged me for asking for extra crispy hash browns.
You were right. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I
thrown under the bus.
The apology. I was a little offended. I'm like,
now I would defend
like,
you.
The fuck.
I'm so sorry.
Like I just like, have a
actually
crispy hash brown.
I'm so sorry. That's fucked up.
Literally, everyone was like, "Why would you fucking do that?"
You know what it was? It was just like.
Because we all went to restaurants and everyone was like, really, why would you ever ask
it was
that?
So busy. They were like busy, weren't they?
I think we had to wait for a table, but I don't think they were like slamming
and
freaking out.
Maybe.
It was during COVID.
Yeah.
So I think there was maybe less tables happening because there was like spacing happening.
That's true. It was
from what I remember.
COVID.
It's also winter time. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. All
I'm
I know
sorry.
Is
but you were allowed to ask for extra crispy hash browns.
I don't feel like I was asking for a lot.
You weren't.
Just forget about them for two more minutes.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Just leave them on the griddle.
It makes a difference.
A little bit longer.
I don't want them to be steamy, you know?
No, I want them to be crispy.
Yeah.
That's why the McDonald's hash brown
so good.
Is
I had two of those this morning.
Good for you. I do love McDonald's hash brown. Actually, fuck with McDonald's breakfast in general. I'm not really a McDonald's person besides their breakfast.
Listen, I'm an American. I will go to McDonald's anytime I feel like it.
That's fair. I'm just usually disappointed by everything else except for the breakfast.
Well, chicken nuggets don't really vary too much from one.
Yeah, they're just like not. Anyways, we're gonna tangent. We're gonna go off a tangent.
I could actually talk about this all day.
We could. We really could. Like we gotta reel it in.
You're not usually the one that reels it in.
I know.
Good job.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today?
So this is this is an episode that we are redoing that we never released because I was like, this is not good.
This is trash.
Okay. Throw it in the garbage.
Let's see if we can do a twofer. Two trash episodes.
Two trash in
if we had to redo this a third time.
I wouldn't do it. I would make that call.
Like I'm wasting a week of my life. I simply cannot.
I've already wasted 2 weeks of my life on this one. It's never a waste. I'd rather do this than a lot of other things.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So history has taught us that not every conspiracy theory stays a theory. Governments have conducted secret experiments, hidden dangerous programs, and denied operations that were later proven to be real. So what if one of the strangest claims of all was hiding inside the same shadowy history? What if the United States discovered time travel more than 50 years ago, and instead of sending trained astronauts or soldiers through it, they chose children? According to one Washington attorney, that is exactly what happened. He says he was recruited into a classified program, transported through space and time, and even sent back to witness Abraham Lincoln in Gettysburg. And later, he was teleported to Mars.
Hell yeah.
His name is Andrew Basciago, and this is the story of Project Pegasus.
Listen, that is so... There's nothing that I like more about the American government is that... I'm sorry, I'm just proud that we have all these crazy fucking conspiracy theories. It's like one of the most metal things. Unfortunately, we do a lot more really metal things.
We do some in a bad really way. Fucked up things. Yes. Yeah, unfortunately.
But the conspiracies are fun.
They are fun.
And especially the historic ones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, now, unfortunately.
Oh, it's gotten less fun over time.
It's gotten less fun, I think, because of the QAnon.
QAnon 2016
really fucked us over.
Ruined it.
Yeah, they really did. Honestly, everything that Trump touches, it gets fucking ruined.
I was reading an article today about how, like, the Department of Labor and basically our government had created or used racist memes that sort of started, like, references to racist memes that started in 20, like, Pepe is an example of this. That started in the QAnon era, and they've used references to that to make like memeable content to recruit ICE.
Ew.
And there was quite a few examples.
Yeah.
Pepe wasn't exactly one, but there's a few of them where it's like,
these.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Pepe is a QAnon dog whistle.
Huh.
Yep. But it's everywhere.
Interesting.
And there's a few other ones that apparently are like, you know, kind of, anyway, racist dog
whistles. Eventually want to get into QAnon as...
Oh, God.
That would be a multi-parter episode.
Yeah, dude, that sounds like an episode of Last Podcast. Goodness. Or Behind the Bastards. Like, that is some proper...
Shit.
I'm like, okay, if you want to step all in it, go for it. It seems a lot of work.
Yeah, it does feel like a lot of work, which is why I have not done it.
No.
But I would like to at least get there at some point with the research skills.
Oh, okay. Well, you can certainly do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your faith in me.
Okay, well, I'm excited about this story.
Yeah. I knew this is more of your house, your bread and butter, I would say.
I do enjoy.
Yeah. So, preface this, I have heard his Andrew Basciago's name pronounced a couple ways. I've heard Asiago with a B over it. He says it Basciago.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it Basciago. Also, this is a convoluted and complicated story, I think, because he's done tons and tons of interviews. There's also other people that have come out and said other things. So I tried to make this as streamlined as possible. I will say every time I found an article or a podcast or something covering the story, they were all very, very different.
Okay.
So I would just say, whatever you hear here, you probably might hear something differently on a different episode. I just tried to get the main strokes.
Okay.
So hopefully that works for all of y'all.
Notes. Take notes.
So Andrew D. Basciago is an attorney from Washington State. Hey, girl.
Oh.
And what type of attorney he is, it's not really listed on his LinkedIn. I did look at it.
Okay. He's past the bar somewhere, but he's probably not practicing.
Yeah, well, his LinkedIn actually says Project Pegasus.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But he passed the bar. Yeah. A lot of people just say private attorney.
Okay.
Whatever the hell that means.
I have no idea.
Is this like a Better Call Saul situation? I don't know.
Okay.
But he is in Washington State. He has passed the bar in Washington State. But he claims that as a child in the late 1960s and early 1970s, he participated in a secret government program known as Project Pegasus. And then in 2004, Andrew Basciago started something called the Truth Movement, where he became a government whistleblower.
Okay. The Truth Movement.
So he files an affidavit.
Okay, I'm listening.
Which is kind of a big deal. An affidavit's like...
It's a prop... Yeah, that's a, you know, a document.
That's a document. Also, I feel like if he's found to be lying after an affidavit, he loses his license as a lawyer. He gets disbarred.
Sure. I think. Okay. So he's like, yeah, this.
Yeah. So he files this affidavit to say that the government has been executing classified programs that create time travel, teleportation, and government relationships with extraterrestrial life. So the entirety of the story comes from him because he claims he was part of these programs being recruited as a child. So there's a big asterisk, I think, for all of this is he's done multiple interviews. He's talked about this for decades at this point.
He's our source.
He is the source.
Okay.
So there's nothing else. There's other people that come forward and do corroborate them.
Oh, okay.
But those people also do interviews and write books and pamphlets and do public appearances. And so it's just like,
okay.
Do we believe them? Do we not? I don't know.
Okay.
I want to believe a conspiracy to be real. I want to believe time travel is real. I want to believe actually teleportation. I want to believe teleportation is real.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
The ability to be able to teleport to, sure. I don't know, fucking Queensland.
Okay, now I remember. Amazing. Every time we talk about this, I'm like, I think it is real, but not in our physical body.
Yes, the astral projection.
Yeah, that's probably, there's probably something to that. But
I don't want to astral project. I want to be on a beach in Queensland.
But if you feel like you're there,
it's not the same.
No, it's not.
Then just get a VR headset.
Ugh. I don't like that. That's not the same.
All right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning. So we're going to January 7th, 1943.
Okay.
And Nikola Tesla dies. So he dies in the New Yorker Hotel in room 3327. And evidently his death is kind of a bit mysterious. Yes. Perhaps also a conspiracy theory.
He is. Yeah. People. He's a bit. There's a lot of conspiracies surrounding.
Yeah.
Mr. Tesla.
So evidently, Tesla was approached by the government to create teleportation, and he denied. He's like, I don't want to do that. He's like, I'm not doing that for you guys.
Okay.
And then he dies mysteriously. Is kind of like where that stems from.
Okay.
From what I understood. But so he dies in the New Yorker Hotel in room 3327.
He was a strange dude.
He was a strange dude. Also in Tesla's room were boxes and boxes of decades of research of different scientific theories. So after Tesla dies, the government in some sort of entity, or the FBI, CIA, we don't really know. Actually, CIA didn't exist then. It was something else. But they raid his room, and they eventually give most of Tesla's stuff to his family, except for about 20 boxes of research that are still unaccounted for.
That's crazy.
Classified somewhere.
God, if you could even imagine what the hell they would want.
I know, I know. Well, this is evidently, according to Andrew Basciago,
some of this stuff.
This is what they wanted. Mm. So it is said that this research launched dozens of classified projects like weather modification, different types of weapons using different types of energy, mind control, etc. But all of these projects eventually lead back to Tesla's research, is what Andrew's claiming. Hmm. So by the 1950s, the U.S. hits the Cold War. And we also are now in the space race. So on October 4th, 1957, the Soviet Union launches their first satellite, Sputnik. And Sputnik is in Earth's orbit now, the first one. And this is not great for the U.S.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
so on like a 2026 lens, is like, this just feels like a dick measuring contest. Like, who can get up in space first?
Yeah. Yeah, except they were really actually terrified back then.
Yeah, but in like the
now we're not really for some reason.
No, Cold War era is like, well, like shit, like if they can get something into space like that, what does it? Because also this is right after Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
They're which like, we did.
Yeah, which we did. But they're like, okay, so if they can send a rocket into space and drop a satellite up there, what is keeping them from sending a nuclear missile over to the States? Which is fair.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Just it's,
what?
It's just like hard being a part of the only country
I know
that has used it. And I then know. We're over here like, how dare they?
I agree.
It's so, I don't know. It's like the cognitive dissonance of it all. I'm just like,
I agree. It's not very confusing.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're so fucking callous.
We really act like we're the savior in a lot of scenarios, and we act like we are
the victims.
That is the part. When truly we have created probably more fucking harm than any other country in the world.
Well, I'd give England a real good
England is. Yeah, England's a pretty big shout out as well. All the colonizers. Spain is right up there as well, it's I would say.
The Dutch. So many. And you know what? It's the whites. We're the problem.
The whites are the problem. We are. Hey, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
It's not good. Wow. Okay. Sorry. I didn't take us there.
Yeah, you can only blame anyone but yourself. Whew, that is sour after that margarita.
Oh,
it's okay. It's
that's
okay.
That's rough.
So months after Sputnik is launched, President Eisenhower creates a new scientific division known as the Advanced Research Project Agency, aka ARPA. They would later add defense to the name and become DARPA, which is an agency that still exists today.
It does.
So ARPA was given unlimited funding and really only had one objective. In terms of technological advancements, they need to stay at the head of the Soviets at any cost.
They're like, okay.
Here's a big old pile of money. Make it fucking happen. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. I guess I'm like, well, there's such a wide range of things. Just like all of it. Just be better.
Just like a pat, like
be
a
smarter,
lot
of, better, faster than them and all of the
just
things.
Just give
them
a big old pile of money. Be like, figure it out. Be like, figure what out? They're like, be better than the Soviets. They're like, okay.
Sure. We would need spies, first of all. Mm-hmm. I'm needing someone to go in there and figure out what they're doing before I know.
I would argue probably the CIA is doing that. And then maybe hopefully they're talking back and forth. I don't know.
Okay.
These are the scientists. These are the nerds. Okay. We love a nerd. I'm not ragging on the nerds.
Yeah.
Like, no. These are the nerds trying to figure out the technology. And maybe the spies are going over there, you know, figuring out this stuff.
We need some nerd spies.
Yeah. Some nerdy spies.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything unsexy about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can, like, write some code and also beat somebody up.
Or whatever.
Yeah. You got a brain
or at
and
least
brawn.
You could speak another language, likely.
Yeah.
And have enough, like, self-awareness to blend into mm-hmm. situations that you might.
Yeah, actually, nerds are probably a better spy. Yeah. We've joked about this with our friend Jane, because she's so tiny.
Okay.
And kind of unassuming. I'm like, you would be a great spy.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, she also speaks Russian. Sorry, Jane, not to put you on blast on this podcast. But she, I'm like, you're very unassuming. You're very tiny. And you can kind of skedaddle on through. No one's going to think you're the fucking problem. No one's going to think you're the enemy. And I would argue, use that to your advantage. Jane, do you hear me?
I think she's going to hear about this for sure.
Yeah. Be a spy. hopefully she's not mad at me. Okay.
She wouldn't dare be mad at you.
So regardless of what ARPA was trying to accomplish, they were still behind the Soviets about a decade later. So maybe their spies aren't working that hard, unfortunately. So the scientists working in the agency decided to dig back into the Tesla files to give the America the edge it needed to win the space race and also just probably the counterintelligence race in general, right? They're just trying to get ahead. We've been given unlimited budget. We're trying to figure this out. Let's do this. So while digging into these files that were confiscated, then they still have the 20 boxes of, research is found on how to build a teleportation device, which is where Project Pegasus is born.
Okay.
It is also said that the Manhattan Project and Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what Operation Paperclip is?
Is that the one where the people get stuck in a... There's like a group of men. They're going to move from like one place to another and then they get stuck in the way the space-time continuum works. Is they end up like halfway out the ship, like in the metal.
Are you talking about this? Stargate?
No, but no, we brought... Okay, no, but this is ringing a bell. We need to look this up.
Yeah, we'll give Meg a pause to let her look this up.
Yeah.
We need elevator music.
I know.
Adam, can you make us elevator music? That's I'm so asking funny. On the pod. Or if any other musicians out there want to make us some elevator music, that'd be fun. Make a remix of us saying stupid shit. That'd be hilarious,
I really... I'm not going to be able to find it right away.
It sounds like a sci-fi movie or show, if I'm being honest.
Let's carry on.
Okay. You might just shout it out eventually at some point, perhaps. That's fine. We can do that too. Okay. So while Meg is pondering that, Operation Paperclip is another conspiracy theory that's maybe not a conspiracy theory, maybe this has actually been proven to be true, that we basically took Nazi scientists over to the U.S. to help us with the Cold War.
Oh, we did that for sure.
We definitely did that. Yeah, okay. So that's what Operation Paperclip is.
Oh.
So there's a Manhattan Project, Operation Paperclip. They're also working on Tesla's teleportation device along with ARPA. Everyone's trying to figure it out.
These are real. I mean, yeah. Okay. Yeah, these are major
projects.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Properly funded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. So the main agenda or mission of Project Pegasus after figuring out time travel or teleportation is to relay important information about the past and future events to the U.S. president, the intelligence agencies and community, and also the military. So basically the entire point of Project Pegasus that they're creating is like, okay, we're going to teleport. We also got time travel.
Okay. And okay.
Yeah. And so with the teleportation, it's like, okay, we can send a million troops to St. Petersburg right away. That's kind of the idea during the Cold War.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. They were really thinking outside the box.
They were saying.
Okay. But Manhattan is the nuclear weapons project. So they were doing real stuff. So I'm saying if it really existed next to Operation Paperclip and the Manhattan Project, then those are real.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the Montauk Project.
Yeah.
So they were, I think they're just throwing shit at a wall and seeing what stuck. Is kind of what it feels like with this. And this is one of those things that maybe stuck, maybe didn't. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Can be confirmed nor denied.
Right. Because we don't know if this is real.
Right. So teleportation is basically like we can send
troops. I mean, I understand why you'd want to.
Yeah, totally. And then time travel is basically like we're going to go to future events, past events, and observe and relay back what actually happened. What is happening?
Not a chance. You just want to observe and report back. Not
honestly,
a chance.
That's the least believable thing about this entire fucking episode.
They were like, "Oh no, we would never."
No, we're not going to like change space. History. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding?
No, we cannot.
Andrew Basciago does talk about this later about the whole. Well, you mean you're going to change history?
Yeah.
He says because eventually he talks about the multiverse.
Oh, okay.
Now we're getting to MCU territory.
That.
And he says that if you alter history, then you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yes.
So like fair. Really, it's in our benefit to not alter, to just observe.
Okay, but I don't know. A group of men get together.
Yeah.
They're not doing the rational.
The people in our government right now, there's no fucking way they're going to do things for the greater good or not alter history.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Yeah. So I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
People, I think it's not possible.
I would argue that if people had integrity, that who were in this project or who people who are being like reported to had integrity, then maybe.
Listen, if they figured out how to do it back then, they would be doing it now.
Yeah.
It's not like we'd stop doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they are.
Maybe they are. Mm. So also specifically with the teleportation, this is another thing. They want to be able to send the president and other important government people somewhere else quickly. Right. Especially if, let's say, there's a nuclear strike during the Cold War. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense, right?
It does.
This is giving...
It's fantastical.
Andrew Basciago needed to write a sci-fi novel.
Yeah, he could have just done that instead of making up all these lies. He could have done that
and like, this is Liza Minnelli lies. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is like, why did you have to do this? Mm-hmm. Let's just make a... fucking series. Go sell to Netflix, queen.
True.
You know? Anyways. So other agendas were to contact future presidents to prepare them for that role.
Mm.
I would argue they did not do a good job. And to figure out teleportation to Mars and maintain a relationship with extraterrestrials on Mars.
Oh. Okay, so he's like, and we know there are extraterrestrials on Mars.
Yeah, we'll get into the Mars stuff.
Okay.
Probably in episode 2. So the facility for Project Pegasus is said to be in the basement of the Curtis Wright Building in Woodridge, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So the basement is not the original blueprints, and you cannot find traces of this basement if you were to look it up in public record.
Got it.
Because it's supposed to be a top secret facility.
Okay, sure.
I'm imagining Mad Men. Just Mad Men offices with... time travel. I'm going to write the story in my brain now. Yeah.
Scientists, I just think that they had really styled, fantastic offices.
I know.
I guess they might have.
They have bar carts and cigarettes.
I don't think that the I mean, maybe certain, you know, generals, like the 3 and 4 stars might have those fancy offices, but
with a bar cart and
some, yes, like definitely some cigarettes. That. And, but like the average one probably would.
No, it just has a cubicle with a ball of tequila in their bottom drawer.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I do. No, I don't. I work from home. I don't need to hide my tequila. But I would if I could have too.
I know. They just didn't, God, care about nothing.
Nope. Honestly. So in this basement that is not in existence anywhere.
It's off the record.
Off yes. the record. Scientists and researchers with the highest security clearance were able to build Tesla's teleportation device.
Oh, okay.
So like top secret shit.
All right, they did it.
Build it down here. Yes. So the lab where the device is being created was a concrete room with no windows and smelled like ozone.
Oh, yeah. Ozone. Okay.
Ozone. We've talked
about ozone.
Which it's always like comes up. I mean, we've done some weird episodes.
I know, but it comes up, yeah, in these kind of like,
yeah,
hokey episodes.
Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah, it's like, yes, it's the interdimensional also, maybe and ozone.
Also in Mel's Hole, we talked about ozone?
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
They go hand in hand.
That was the kookiest episode we've done.
So funny.
Go listen to episode 99. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
That was one. And the Flatwoods Monster, which is 96.
I like that one.
Yeah. That was the one where you broke me. Those are both very funny. So, yes, yeah, so ozone, if no one knows, it's like a weird...
I have no idea what it smells
acidic,
like.
Acidic, metallic...
Oh, okay.
Vomit smell?
Vomit smell.
I've smelled ozone.
Ew. Okay.
It's weird. It's almost... It's not even like a smell. It's like just in the air.
Oh, like a feeling.
It's like a feeling. It's like heavy, staticky in the air. Mm. And it's like vomit, battery acid, and...
Weird.
Other thing. Like stuff like acidic stuff.
I mean, it would make sense, though, that if you can... If it's almost like that visceral.
Yeah.
That you feel like you can almost touch it.
Yeah. Totally.
Then it would lend itself to whatever...
We're about to talk about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever physics is involved here.
So the device itself has a bit of like a mixed bag when it comes to descriptions.
Okay.
So I've read it as 2 gray middle pillars, but I've also read that it's like the middle pillars are shaped like parentheses.
Oh, okay.
Which is giving fucking Stargate.
Oh,
if you've ever watched that movie.
No.
It's been a long time since I've seen that. But yeah, it's like
okay.
basically almost like a circle. But it's not quite a circle.
Okay.
Like you can imagine
it's conducting some type of energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so those are 8 feet apart or 8 feet high and they're positioned 10 feet apart.
Okay.
So it's like a big.
It's big. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're supposed to have copper wiring around it.
Okay.
So.
Seems pretty rudimentary.
Yes. Very simple. Literally my next sentence. This sounds like a very basic machine.
Yes.
And it is. But what it's said to do is Tesla claims that like the machine itself would take all the surrounding energy in the room to power it, which he called either like residual energy or zero point energy.
Oh, okay.
I think zero point energy is the newest version of residual energy.
Okay.
So in quantum physics.
Okay. Look at you.
Particles and fields can never become completely motionless. Like everything, stuff is always moving.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
At the smallest, most microscopic, nanoscopic thing we can think of, everything is always moving.
Yeah. Which is why we're in a simulation, I guess, at the end of the day, because it feels solid and yet.
Yeah. So these tiny, unavoidable fluctuations are because of the uncertainty principle, which basically is saying that you can never pinpoint something to the exact position because it's always moving, even like an atom.
Okay.
So everything's moving.
Hmm.
And so the idea of zero point energy is that if it's moving, it's creating energy because movement is energy, it's kinetic energy, right?
Sure.
And so then in real physics, this is an established concept, but claims that it can currently be harnessed as a limited source of free energy is not scientifically supported at this point.
Mm. At this point currently?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's a theory.
Someday.
Okay. I feel like physics
is it just not a even a theory?
No, it is a theory. Okay, it's theory. Definitely like, oh yeah, everything has movement. Even the atom in your fucking wall, mm-hmm. it's always moving, right? Everything is made up of small, teeny tiny little things.
And the idea was that they could use some coils and some curved metal to
power this device.
To harness that energy.
To harness
of
that
the
energy.
Universe.
Yes.
Okay. Ballsy.
It is ballsy. I don't know. That's what Tessa said. I'm just here telling you the retelling you the story. So the idea is that the simple machine that Tesla designed and the scientists built.
I'm sorry, that man was a fucking magician.
This is magic. This is fucking alchemy.
Yes, it is.
That's alchemy.
Exactly.
Honestly, alchemy seems way more fun.
A warlock, maybe, is what you would call
a wizard, a warlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A magician.
He could get it for real. I don't think he'd want it, but he could get it.
Why?
Oh, I bet he's severely on the spectrum. Tesla.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say that he was gay.
Could have been. I would bet that a brain that big has no interest for the...
You know what? I think a brain that big is like, I like all types. I'd fuck everybody.
Oh, you could be. I don't know. I think that's a matter of testosterone. Too much.
No, I don't think it's a matter of testosterone.
You don't think so?
No.
I think you could be open-minded.
I think if you're up here and you're like this kind of cerebral type of person, you're like, yeah. If I have I vibe with you, I fuck you.
Sure. It's not coming from a judgmental.
No, it's like a primal off. State. I'm thinking it's coming from like.
I think he's got no energy for it. I bet.
Or perhaps that.
A brain that big is asexual.
Probably.
No time for
yeah.
those carnal.
Yeah, should we bust out the Ouija board and try to ask Tesla?
Try to
ask him?
Hit on him?
No.
We're going to hit on
him. You can hit on him.
We're going
to. I was just going to ask him. I have different questions, perhaps, than you do. Hi, Tesla. Can you get it? That is what Meg would do.
I have to know if he was married, though. Hold on. I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Okay, let me look this up.
This is where we need waiting music. Once again, this is my appeal to our musician
listeners.
No, he was never
married. He remained a lifelong bachelor.
Oh, shit.
Believing that chastity and celibacy were vital to maintaining his high level of focus.
Oh, shit. I was wrong.
No, he does not fuck.
Maybe he does in the afterlife.
Yeah, I hope so.
This is what we need to ask on the Ouija board.
So.
Tesla, do you
God,
fuck?
God, he would be so offended.
Question mark.
These idiots.
These two broads talking into a microphone.
Fucking oh, this dare was you. Among the more embarrassing things I've
heard. It's not. I can guarantee.
Oh, no.
I've witnessed all of it. You've said worse.
Oh, great.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so yeah. So 0-point energy. We were going to talk about quantum physics, and we went to like this Tesla fuck.
Just like such a dumb skank.
We're stupid. Such a dumb skank. It's funny.
Sorry.
Whatever. We're funny. Get over it.
It's just for fun. It's just for the.
Yeah, we're just here for the good times. Okay. So on March 12th, 1968, the machine was turned on for the first time.
What a big, I mean, big, that's a big day.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
It's a big day. And it was said to have vibrated and kind of hummed at a frequency that you could feel in your teeth.
Ooh. Okay.
Which is, ooh.
Wow. Okay. So it did something.
It did something.
Doing a thing.
So the claim is that the air between the pillars had like a wave. So I've seen it described as wavy, like you see in the desert, like
oh,
the
sure.
heat coming off a road.
Okay.
I've also seen it described as water.
Oh.
Water flowing and like kind of is shimmery. I just could never refer to it as a shimmer.
You can say, I mean, I cook a lot. So if you've got your pan on the
like
stove.
Steam. Yeah.
Even if there's no actual liquid in the pan, mm-hmm. if it's really hot, you can sort of see
yes.
the, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like something's happening in the air.
It is. It yeah. makes and it probably sense. Is a precipitation thing.
I don't think it's precipitation.
Look, clouds are not here.
They're not in the room.
Humidity? A humidity thing?
I don't think it's humidity either.
It's just the look of heat.
I think it's just heat energy coming off of whatever you're cooking with. That's the stupidest thing I've ever said. Congratulations.
Carry on.
Okay.
God.
So yeah, so then also it said in the room that the temperature drops significantly to the point where ice is forming on the walls because it's said to be sucking all this free energy, this 0-point energy into the machine. So it's taking all the energy off the atoms.
Weird.
And like, taking all the energy out of the room. It's kind of what it sounds like.
Okay. I'm sorry. So it sounds like water is playing a part here.
I'm not saying it's
you don't
not.
Get freezing.
Listen, you make a good point. I'm just saying precipitation is not what happens when you cook.
Precipitation is arguably wrong.
Not arguably. It is. I love you dearly. But oh, no.
Yeah, no. It's
Yeah.
That's a cloud thing.
That's a cloud thing. That was our tornado episode. So a pencil is then tossed into the space between the pillars.
Sweet. This is really scientific. <We're> like, somebody was like, throw a pencil in it.
You know what? I'd rather have a pencil than a rabbit.
I'm sorry. I'd rather it just be like a soft ball or something, not a pencil with a sharp.
Maybe someone just had an intrusive thought. They're like,
hey. Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of what it feels
control
like.
Themselves.
They're like, I'm just gonna.
It does not sound like that was a written part of the test plan.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, Let's go through the checklist. Yeah. Now Marv is going to throw this sharpened pencil in the middle of that.
I think that was the intrusive thought that won.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, which we've all been
there. Well, I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly, you're going to tell me about a bunch of people that died.
Yes. So it's like, yeah. There's a point, yes. Yeah. So the pencil is thrown into the shimmer.
Oh, okay, the shimmer.
And about 10 seconds later, it falls from the ceiling. Oh. But the paint is weathered and the metal is corroded. Hmm. Like, the pencil had aged decades in just a few seconds.
Okay.
Which is interesting if that's what happened.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a stretch to say it aged. Could it have just been weathered from whatever...
going through space and time?
I mean, I guess perhaps. That's what the suggestion is, but it could have just been, like, whatever...
Yeah, it was either aged or was just significantly damaged in that 10 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah. Either way, not good. I'm not going through it.
Oh, certainly not.
No, if I see a pencil come back looking fucked up,
right?
What's going to happen to my ass?
That's a good point.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now that they see that it ages a pencil in seconds.
But, okay, sure.
The scientists, they're like, well, let's just go ahead and test some people.
Why not?
Why the hell not?
Because those are the same. A pencil and a human person is the same.
I would argue that some people in the government probably feel that way.
Oh,
we're just peons. In that, we can take a little break.
Take a break.
Yes.
After this, work.
On Canada's East Coast, the Atlantic isn't the only thing that's dark and restless. It Came From the Maritimes is co-hosted by siblings Evan and Chelsea, who share the region's fog-shrouded legends, haunted lighthouses, ghost ships, and chilling folklore passed down through generations. It's maritime history at its most haunting. True crime, eerie local lore, and the mysteries that refuse to stay buried. For those drawn to the strange and storied side of the East Coast, It Came From the Maritimes releases new episodes every week. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we are back. Hopefully you had a great break.
Oh, okay.
You good?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
So, we were just going to the volunteers, the human volunteers.
Brave souls.
Brave souls. So a few soldiers volunteered. They're soldiers / physicists.
Patriots.
Totally.
This is crazy.
I would never. Mm. I would do this if it's like...
Did you know those government jobs aren't paying you much?
No. Also, I would do this if it was like confirmed you're good. Nothing bad's going to happen if you go through this.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
I've talked about how I would like to try and travel just to vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, it would have to be on the commercial market before I'm interested.
Yeah, I'd probably maybe that, yeah. I'm not doing any government shit, so it'd have to be a commercial.
Not a chance.
Maybe someday. Anyways, so a few soldiers volunteer for this experiment / mission, I would say. And the idea is that they are going to be teleported 1,800 miles away to the Sandia National Labs in New Mexico.
Okay.
Evidently, this is where they had another setup.
Okay. So they had another thing there? Like they had another machine?
So maybe? I don't know if they had another machine, but they have scientists and medical professionals waiting. This is kind of where they figured out this is where we're going to send them.
Okay.
So maybe... I think New Mexico has a lot of weird shit that happens there.
They do. Sandia does some classified stuff to this day, so that is not...
Roswell, even like all that stuff. There's a lot of stuff happening in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first person up was a 26-year-old Lieutenant Morrison, and he walked through the shimmer. He doesn't arrive in New Mexico or anywhere.
Oh, okay.
He just disappears.
He does?
Yes, oh, he's just gone.
Whoa.
Now I'm arguing. What if he comes back?
Or where did he go?
Or where did he go? But what if he comes back in 2 years from now?
Well, maybe. I guess so.
All of our minds.
Well, I mean, he would probably have to be channeled from somewhere.
That's a fucking movie or a book.
I guess so. I would think it's more likely that he was like vaporized.
Probably. But if I'm writing the novel, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the,
it's more fun that way.
Or the
so they sent him somewhere.
Series.
They have no idea.
They sent him somewhere, but he definitely didn't end up in Sandia.
Oh God.
In New Mexico, which is unfortunate.
And they never saw him again.
He was never. He just disappears.
Hmm. Just a real person.
Mm-hmm.
With an obituary.
I don't think it has an obituary because this is all classified.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a real person. Didn't really happen.
This is all bullshit. Okay. So next up is a 31-year-old Lieutenant Farley, and he does arrive in New Mexico.
Well,
but he is aged significantly.
Oh no!
And collapses and dies of old age eventually.
Oh my God! he lost 60 years of his life.
He comes back. He's a grandfather.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully he lived those 50 or 60 years
somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Damn. That is the help. Yeah.
Yeah.
So after the second failure, some recalibrations and adjustments are made using Tesla's notes, and they try the experiment again.
Mm.
I would argue you should do that the first time, mm-hmm. but what do I know?
Maybe so like an orange instead of a human boy.
Yeah.
Which is right? What you're going to tell me, right?
No.
Eventually that they do it with a boy?
They do eventually do it with a boy, yes. So Lieutenant Hutchins is up next.
Mm.
And by this time, they're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't send them 1,800 miles away to New Mexico.
Too far, okay.
Maybe we should just send them upstairs.
Okay.
Which I would argue, that's where you start, you know?
That's a good point.
You're supposed to be
mm-hmm.
the brightest minds in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the top of the top. You're working top secret shit for the government. You're fighting the Cold War. You're working
sure.
some really high intensity stuff. Why didn't we do an orange
mm-hmm.
upstairs?
Yeah, or a teddy bear or something, like anything. Yeah,
anything.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, we're going to send him a floor above. He arrives in pieces.
Oh, no.
First his legs, and then eventually his torso, half a minute later. And then 2 minutes after that, his arms.
Oh, God.
And then eventually also his organs arrive at different time intervals.
Was it bloody?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
So...
interesting.
He's obviously dead.
Okay.
Done. Did. Dead.
Weird.
Okay. Sorry, though. So the human trials do continue after this.
Because why not? Like, it's going so well.
I'll actually get more into some more fucked up part of the human trials in general. Okay. And some of the subjects come back physically intact, but they are broken mentally.
Oh.
And
they remember anything?
Yes. So one of these subjects is 19-year-old Private Anderson. So when he comes back, he can't stop screaming.
Okay.
And he says that he has been in the place between here and there. That's what he keeps screaming about. He also says that the past and the future exist at the same moment, in that he says he could feel himself being born and dying over and over again. And he evidently never speaks again after this and is then holy committed to a moly. Mental hospital.
Oh, no. He did see the multiverse.
He saw that was. Something.
Damn.
He took the wrong mushrooms. He had a bad trip.
Ooh, okay.
It's a bad trip right there. The worst trip, I would
poor
say.
Thing.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he's just like ruining to something.
Hmm. You know,
kind of way.
But he's a wise old man.
If you can get him to be coherent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably makes beautiful paintings or something.
Probably. He probably makes some really fucking cool paintings.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy the shit out of one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at the end of these trials, there are 15 humans sent through the device and only 3 survived. But all those 3 lose their minds.
Oh, great.
Yeah, well. Great fucking study, guys. But a trend was noticed with these 3 survivors. They were all much younger than the ones who didn't survive.
Okay, that's how we get here.
That's how we get here.
Jesus.
So now,
okay.
Scientists are wondering, could the mind of a child survive this ordeal? Which brings us to...
chuck one in there. Why not?
Just boot a baby in. See what happens.
Jesus.
Maybe strap a GoPro on its head. Like, yeah. Just kick it in with a helmet.
Wait, we can't trust it to reliably explain what was happening. No.
Honestly, so I totally forgot about this part of it. So evidently from Andrew Basciago...
Apparently...
maybe, evidently, I don't fucking know. This is all... a big old asterisk, okay? Okay? Let me put it out there. So Andrew says that when you enter the shimmer, you have to do it at 1 meter per second. So you have to like run.
Oh.
And then he says you have to like
jump.
You have to like cannonball yourself in. Like you have to keep all your fucking like arms and legs intact. Together? Like
okay.
Like an airplane.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You
okay.
have to kind of cannonball in, otherwise you're like
you'll lose some.
Will come at a different point.
Got it. Okay.
Which is maybe what happened with that one guy. So he like
just They learned a technique.
You have to jump in.
Okay.
You have to cannonball in. And this is the worst cannonball.
Yeah.
You have to do that.
Okay.
Sorry, I totally forgot about that. I didn't put that in my notes. I'm like, oh, I should put that
Then I would say it would make sense if the thing was sideways and they did have a diving board. So you could just jump from up high into.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, if you can go to the future, why not get Miley Cyrus's wrecking ball to play while you're jumping?
So stupid. I was like, what the fuck? That's a good song. She's an artist.
Sorry. That's what I'm imagining. When you're like running and like jumping. Like that was probably what I played in my head. Okay. So now scientists are wondering, could the mind of a child survive this ordeal? Which brings us to Raymond Basciago.
Raymond.
We'll like that. Yeah. So Raymond Basciago works for the main contractor of ARPA. It's still called ARPA at this point. I don't think it's called DARPA yet. Which is the Ralph M. Parsons Company, which is a technology-focused defense intelligence and infrastructure engineering firm.
Was that Parsons, like the Jack Parsons?
I have no idea. It is a real company. I looked it up.
I believe it.
I think they definitely work with like defense government stuff. I think they still do.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anyways. So yeah. So Raymond works for this company. He also does have ties to the CIA. Andrew Basciago says he eventually goes to the CIA and asks for his father's records. And they're like, we can't give those to you. They're like, no.
Sure.
So I don't know if that confirms or denies it. Maybe they said no because they don't have anything, or they said no because they do have something, but they just can't give it to him. Why was his
father in the CIA?
He was an engineer working for this company.
His dad was?
Yes, his dad, Raymond Basciago. He's working for this company, which works on defense, intelligence, and infrastructure engineering. And he's been working on the Project Pegasus since the beginning.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now, okay, so Jack Parsons was involved in the Jet Propulsion Lab.
Okay.
And was, like, early U.S. military, like, building the rockets. So if our three major things are, like, we want to build
rockets,
nukes, which you need a rocket to do that with.
Yeah.
You want to teleport. And what was the other one they wanted
to do? Time travel.
Yeah, but what was the other one?
It's also the space race.
The space race.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah, okay. So so maybe you do, you help build the rockets. And then you're like, now also I can do whatever
working over on here. This. Yeah, maybe he started building the rockets. You're saying
Parsons this time is a name that it would be notably credible in this.
This is the Ralph M. Parsons Company.
Ralph M. Parsons? After one guy?
I don't know if it's like, named after a Jack.
Or is it multiple?
Parsons.
Parsons is the last. You know how
like. Listen, I thought Jack Parsons was a golfer. You fucking tell me, bitch.
I don't know. I can't. Okay. It's just. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I mean, I like it. I love the deep dive into the thing I said that triggered you, but I don't fucking know.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
So Raymond had been working on Project Pegasus, the teleportation device, the time machine, all of this since the beginning. And he also has a 6-year-old son named Andrew Basciago.
Okay. Raymond was the father. Okay.
Raymond's gotcha. So Andrew is basically signed by his father to volunteer for this teleportation device because at this point it's still teleportation.
Jesus.
And he is first sent to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
So he's like, go ahead and use my son?
In the Capitol building, and it works.
Oh, they do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But so just a little caveat to like, why would you just send your fucking child through here? I've read sources that say that Raymond actually went through the device with Andrew the first time.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if by this time they had been able to calibrate it to make people or like just anybody go through. Because also Andrew says later that Raymond was also a jumper. He also went through a lot.
Oh, okay.
So this is 1968. So they started this project in the 1950s. And so then Raymond, so it's not like as bad as we think it is.
We've been doing this for a while.
15 people died.
I still don't understand why you would send your kid in there, but whatever.
Well, so the idea is that because everyone was like, well, do we start sending kids through? Because they seem like the most susceptible to this because kids, their idea of reality isn't as rigid as we in our adulthood think it is. And maybe they're a little bit more moldable, like they're a little more flexible. Also, to train a kid to do this long term, maybe it's good to start at an early age and like
Jesus. Okay.
I don't know. God. Taking a first grader is a lot.
Yeah.
I will say. But
we're not the first government to use children for shit though.
Oh, we're gonna get some of the kid stuff is more fucked up than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So Raymond and Andrew Basciago, they end up in Santa Fe. At the Capitol building of New Mexico.
Nice. Beautiful. I need to go to Santa Fe.
I've never been to New Mexico.
I've been to New Mexico, but I haven't been to Santa Fe.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah.
And Andrew sent two more times to Santa Fe, and he's also sent to his grandparents' house at one point. And every time he sent there and back, and it's fine. And there and back, I mean, is like a, there's like a, they basically suck you back in after a couple minutes.
Okay.
So is that like a,
extended visit?
There's still a landing pad like Stewie needs in Family Guy.
We did talk about a lot of Family Guy. It's you know, they he
loses that
the best and to do it.
Yeah,
I'm
he
sorry.
Loses that and he gets fucked over.
There is no return pad or whatever he calls it.
But there is no return pad in this scenario. He's just there's a timer. That's what it sounds like. They're like eventually sent back.
Okay, we'll pull
like
you back.
Zapped back.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. That's good. You don't have to run the risk of losing your pad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No one wants to lose a pad. So Andrew has also claimed that during these initial trials of using Children Project Pegasus, the U.S. government agencies had actually made deals with poor countries around the world.
Oh, okay. No doubt. No doubt.
To have orphans and unhoused children to test on first.
You know, I don't think you mentioned that last time.
I did not. No. Okay. And a lot of these initial tests were unsuccessful. And Andrew talked about in an interview how they did the jump, like the cannonball jump in. And he said one of the kids didn't really do that. And when he came back from the other side, he landed in the fountain at the Santa Fe Capitol building and he was missing his feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And he was like, yeah, he's like, he came back, but he did not come back.
And I'm sorry, what time of day is this? Because they just end up feetless in a fountain of a Santa Fe Capitol building and no one's saying anything about it. This is insane.
Great fucking segue, Meg. Great fucking segue. So, sidebar.
Okay.
About this New Mexico Capitol building.
Okay.
Is there was a woman in the 90s who was trying to go to the media because she claimed that she kept seeing people and kids materialize at the Capitol building during the time of Project Pegasus.
Don't
fuck around. I'm not fucking lying to you.
Don't fuck around.
She kept going to the media in the 90s and like I kept seeing people show up at the Capitol building in Santa Fe.
Oh, but it would have been in the 90s to her and it could have been, are they teleporting or are they time traveling or they're doing both here?
They might be doing both. I don't fucking.
Oh, so she saw it in the 90s.
No, so she came forward in the 90s.
Oh,
I don't know if it was the exact same time,
so back in the
times
60s,
and dates.
The late 60s.
Yeah, but she was saying I kept seeing people just fucking manifest out of thin air at the Capitol building in Santa Fe.
Okay. Yeah, that is a data point.
Andrew later claims that what she was saying is true and he corroborates her story.
Okay.
Even though she basically was like told that she was a fucking loon.
I bet she went to the National Enquirer.
She probably did go to the National Enquirer.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go?
Right? Mm-hmm. They probably ate that shit up. Yeah. But now they endorse Trump.
They do?
Yeah.
Damn.
I think we talked about that in an episode.
That's too bad.
I know. Fuck you, National Enquirer. Mm-hmm. You had whimsy and now you just suck.
Oof.
That's what I'm saying. Trump kind of killed all the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
They're not fun anymore.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So after the successful jump from New Mexico the first time, Andrew and his father get into a car and drive to Los Alamos Labs. Mm-hmm. And they meet with a Dr. Agnew.
Okay.
So Andrew says that he sees an identical machine in the Los Alamos lab. And Dr. Agnew was heavily involved in nuclear testing, including the bomb that eventually be used in Hiroshima. He was also the...
Nice legacy, dude.
The worst. Fuck. He was also a scientific advisor for NATO and a Democratic state senator for New Mexico. But you might recognize the name Dr. Harold Agnew because he is known as the father of the atomic bomb in the Manhattan Project. Mm. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Significant for some people.
I thought that was Oppenheimer. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it. I hate a long movie. I hate a really long movie. I fucking can't. Make it a miniseries.
Listen, if it's Cillian Murphy, though.
Yeah.
That's tempting. Not enough. I guess I was doing the Barbie thing instead.
I watch Barbie. Because there's so much fucking despair happening already. I can't do a sad thing like that.
Okay, Agnew is one of those.
Yes, he's one of those people on the Manhattan Project.
Cool.
Yeah. So next, scientists want to try something new.
Huh.
So can they send Andrew to a different place in time?
So there's like they're no longer doing Earth.
They're not.
Is what you're saying.
No. They're no longer just teleporting the same day, same time, just teleporting to a different spot. They're now wanting to do a different place in time.
Okay.
So they specifically want to send him back to November 16th, 1863 to see the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. That makes sense why they would. Okay.
I think because it's a very specific, everyone knows the date.
Yes.
We know.
We generally know what happened.
We definitely. Yeah.
As much as, you know. Yeah.
We're not going to send you back to like. Maybe this happened at this time.
A random
occurrence, right?
Yeah, something we could verify against.
So Andrew is dressed up as a Union soldier and told once again to step through the shimmer.
Jump through.
Yes. Sign of the step through. To Miley Cyrus wrecking ball through.
Yes.
I can't not think of it now. I mean, that should be their anthem.
Listen, she wasn't ready at the time.
She was not, no. Wrecking Ball is unfortunately about something else. So he's told to go between, to do the thing he's been doing, to jump, right? He says that when he did the time traveling, though, it felt like he was walking through Jell-O.
Mm.
It was like...
That's fun.
More dense.
Okay.
Yeah. But he does go through, and eventually he says that everything went white, and then next he's sitting in the mud of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Andrew said that the air smelled rotten with a mix of horse manure and smoke. This was like a couple months after the Battle of Gettysburg.
Okay.
So it's probably a lot of still dead bodies and stuff in the air.
Okay.
So Andrew says that he was able to push through the crowd and get close enough to the platform where he witnessed Abraham Lincoln's famous Gettysburg Address.
Oh.
The 67 years ago. Yada, yada, yada. So he also claims that someone took a picture of him, which is obviously not good because that's a big no-no because the idea is you're just supposed to observe and not mess with the timeline.
Okay.
So he's like, shit, someone got a photo of me. But eventually he comes back successfully.
Okay.
And this is when the project really picks up and more kids within the U.S. are recruited. Because originally there was like, they're like using kids from... other countries that probably died from what it sounds like, which is really unfortunate. But now they're like recruiting kids within the U.S.
Again, weird. Why would you do that? I still don't understand why you would do that.
Why they're recruiting kids or
why they're... Why that they're like suddenly like, now we want to use these American children when...
Because...
Arguably, like if you wanted to create little super spies, it's better if they come from a place where you can trace them.
But it's also like peak patriotism at this point.
And racism.
So yes.
It's like, we like, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, because Andrew talks about how Raymond wanted his, like, if we're sending a kid to teleport for the first time, I want it to be my son. I wanted him to be the first one. He's like, I want him to, and like, basically it's like nepotism, essentially.
Sure.
And so the idea is like, we're doing this for America. We want American children.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay.
It's America. Fuck yeah.
Fine. Okay.
I'm saying it's still gross.
It is gross.
No matter what you spend. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. So the parents of all these kids, they're like either connected to the military or some sort of government intelligence agency, but they are told that this is a program for highly gifted students. They're not being told like, oh yeah, we're going to train your kids how to be time travelers, whatever. So the kids chosen for this program went through physical conditioning and meditation techniques, as well as mind exercises to kind of like
fun.
Yeah. Be physically.
Sounds
and
kind
mentally.
Of like hippy dippy shit.
It sounds Should a little hippy dippy for sure. Yeah. So thousands of kids were recruited, but only 140 were deemed to have the mental and physical capabilities for this project. And then they become known as Chrononauts.
Chrononauts.
Okay. And maybe.
Should we have dinner?
That is where we will pick up next week.
Oh,
yeah. It feels like a good stopping point.
Yeah. Chrononauts.
Yeah. Chrononauts. Yeah. You go, think go, about you go. Go, go, Chrononauts.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Not Power Rangers, Chrononauts.
I was channeling the Power Rangers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where we will pick up next week. I will say shit gets weirder.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it to get weird. It's been kind of a weird
journey.
Bummer. So far.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a bummer. I don't know if it's going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's just weird. It's just a weird fucking story. It's a weird conspiracy theory. I feel like I've also given a lot of information already.
Sure.
And I think you need to
digest it.
Yeah, get that up in your gray matter somewhere and then come back next week and I will expand on this story.
All right.
I think that's a good way to put it.
I'm ready. Thank you.
You know what you got to do. You got to rate. You got to follow. You got to subscribe. You know, do all the things.
Yeah, get off your ass.
Get off your ass. Help us out. And we'll talk to you next week. And until next time,
stay grimly curious.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A snarl in the woods. Ancient forest spirits nip at his heels. He can't outrun a force of nature on foot. He needs an instant power machine built for the wild. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. Off-road handling, all-electric power. Leave evil in the dust. John Cho stars in Camping. Face the wild. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places.